It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we look into the book of Acts, we see a man who was sold out to God. He was willing to give his life for the Lord, and eventually he would. And I'm speaking, of course, of Paul the Apostle. Now, Paul left a great example for us to follow. He left a great example for the people that he spoke to as he was traveling along. He was an example. Paul's testimony was one of preaching the gospel with words and not only with words, but with his actions. His testimony matched what he preached. In Acts chapter 20, verse 33 through 35, it says this, Paul speaking, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul the Apostle could say this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Can we say that today to people around us? We need to be able to, and we need to be able to say, as Paul the Apostle said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also am of Christ." Our words need to match our actions, and vice versa. Our actions need to match our words. Now we see Paul getting ready to leave here, and there's praying, weeping, and farewell in Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 36, it says, "And when he had thus spoken," when Paul had finished speaking, "he kneeled down and prayed with them all." And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 37, it says, "And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him." And then we see sorrow. There was a sad march that took place in verse 38. Not only was there sorrow, but then we see the march. And Paul was accompanied on this march to the ship he was getting ready to get on. Verse 38 of Acts 20 says, "Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more." In other words, he was sorrowful for this. "And they accompanied him unto the ship." What a testimony this man had. People would be following him. And in Acts chapter 20, there are some highlights that we need to remember. In verses 1 through 6, we see Paul's travels in Macedonia and Greece. And then verses 7 through 12 of chapter 20, we see that Paul preached in Troas. And then in chapter 13 through verse 16, he traveled from Troas to Miletus. And then verse 17 through 38, Paul met with the Ephesian elders, and he told them about the things that they need to be watching out for. He helped people to understand about the Christian life, and he also warned them about things to come, about to what to be on their guard for. And we need to do the same. We need to warn people about things and about people who would come in to cause trouble in the local church. Well, we do that because we stay in the Word of God, and we know that that still small voice and the Word of God speaks, and we listen. And when something happens that shouldn't be there, then we need to step up and do what is right according to the Word of God. Be on our guard. Well, in Acts chapter 18, we're going to go back just a little bit now. We're not going to read Acts chapter 18, but let me remind you that Paul's third missionary journey is recounted in this chapter in Acts chapter 18. And it's Acts chapter 18, verse 23 through Acts chapter 21 and verse 17. We're getting ready to start in chapter 21 here. We see the third journey ends with Paul's arrival in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21, verse 17. Well, now we see the apostle is about to become a prisoner. And it wasn't without warning. The Holy Ghost admonished the apostle time after time. But the apostle shows us the most striking combination of what was truly heavenly in faith and life with the strongest clinging of heart to his brethren after the flesh. Well, this is what makes the difficulty of appreciating his history by no means small. One may say this, that what was infirmity must be allowed to be infirmity on the noblest side of the human heart. In other words, it's turned in for what is good. And we see that, nevertheless, once again, we have the immediate effect in the lesson that even this does force us into even new circumstances, just like Paul. When we look at the life of Paul, no matter what comes into our life, we need to understand that God never fails. And he never fails us, but once again, he never fails to magnify himself. Why? He is God. He knows how to turn even that which may have been in itself mistaken to his own glory. And then we see his grace, and the grace of God forms new channels to show what is the more remarkably the best. In other words, when we make a mistake, God can turn that into something good. And I'm not telling you to go about trying to do things wrong. I'm saying that when we inadvertently do something wrong, then God can take that and turn it into something good. Don't give up on God. Well, once again, now as we continue our study into the book of Acts, we see, and we start out in Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, and we see there going from Miletus. It says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden." Well, we see once again in Acts chapter 20 and verse 38 that Paul left the Ephesian elders at Miletus. And then we see in Acts chapter 21 and verse 1 how that Paul, Luke, and the others traveling with Paul sailed from Miletus to Cos, or Cus, however you want to pronounce that word, C-O-O-S, to Rhodes and to Patara. And then in verses 2 and 3 that we've read of Acts 21, we see that from Patara they caught a ship to Tyre of Phoenicia. And as they sailed, they saw Cyprus on the left, passing south of the island. You see, God, he wants us to see things, and he wants us to visualize what these people were going through and what they were doing, how that they got on ships, they sailed many miles, and they walked, and they did this for the honor and glory of the Lord, and to see souls saved. Well, now we look on in chapter 21 of Acts, verses 4 through 6, and we see some happenings in Tyre here. Acts 21, 4 through 6, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way, which are with wives and children, till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship. And they returned home again, the people who had come to see them, they returned home. Now, let me remind you of something here, that we're recounting the travelings of Paul here in these chapters. Once again, I believe that Luke was the author, or he was the penman, who penned down the words of God in this section of Scripture in the book of Acts. And he was traveling with Paul, I believe, according to what we read about how that I believe he includes himself in the party here by saying "we" many times. And this, once again, we need to understand that God has chosen men of old, men of God, men to pen down his word. It's not the words of man, but it's the words of God. God wants us to recount. He wants us to look at what took place during these days that Paul the Apostle and all of the others who were traveling with him, God wants us to see what was going on there in the early days of Christianity. Well, notice this, that Once again, in Acts chapter 21 and verse 4, these people who were traveling with Paul and Paul, they found disciples there and remained with them 7 days. And then the disciples understood through the Spirit what awaited Paul in Jerusalem and told him not to go to Jerusalem in chapter 21 and verse 4. Well, and we read on that the disciples accompanied Paul and his companions outside the city, and they knelt down and prayed in Acts chapter 21 and verse 5. And Paul had his companions board a ship and depart, Acts chapter 21 and verse 6. Well, now we read of more warnings about Jerusalem. People didn't want Paul to go there. And once again, Paul needed to go there. Acts 21, verses 7 through 14, it says, "And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Polytamas and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day." Let me remind you that when I say these words, these names, I may not be pronouncing them exactly right, and I may actually do them harm. I don't know, but God knows those words, and you need to look at your Bible and look at those words and let God speak to your heart and see if you can pronounce them any better than I'm pronouncing them. Well, verse 8 of chapter 21 goes on to say, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we," now once again, I believe that the physician Luke was writing this, notes the word "we" again. "And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, 'Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up." They besought Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. "Then Paul answered, 'What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" In other words, they said, "The will of the Lord be done." Would to God that more of us could say that, that the will of the Lord be done. When we pray, we need to pray that the will of God is done. Sometimes, you know, we are pretty selfish when we pray something that maybe we need something and we pray that we need it. But we need to be praying, "God, I pray that if you would find it, if you would just let me have this prayer request answered, Lord, not for me, Lord, but for you, that your will would be done. Now, Lord, if you don't want me to have this, don't supply it. But Lord, I pray that you would supply it according to your will." Well, we need to pray like that. And we need to, once again, we need to be in touch with the Lord and ask God to lead us and guide us and help us to understand what we do need to pray for in order to be able to better serve him in this life. And I pray that you know him today as your Savior. And if you do know him, we have nothing to worry about, because one day we're going to see the Lord face to face because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.